Homs has been dubbed the capital of the revolution in Syria. It's the country's third largest city and has about 1 million residents. We wondered why Homs has taken center stage in the Syrian uprising against Bashar al-Assad. So we asked Syria expert Josh Landis at the University of Oklahoma. Josh, why Homs as opposed to, say, Aleppo or Damascus?
Well, Homs really sits at the fault line of sectarian, economic, geographic fault line of this revolution. Most importantly, perhaps, is because this is a traditionally a Sunni city with a small Christian minority in it that has a big Alawite influx over the last 50 years. And what we're seeing is fighting between two sides of the city, the Sunni side and the Alawite side. And the army has surrounded the Sunnis, has sat in between this and now is pounding the Sunni side, which has gone up in revolt.
Just to clarify, President Bashar al-Assad, as well as his father, they're Alawites.
Yes, the regime is dominated by Alawites and the security forces. But it's not just an Alawite regime. The government, for example, of the 30-some-odd ministers there are in the government, almost all of them are Sunnis. There are some Christians and Alawites, and there are about two Alawites, I believe. But the alliance between Sunnis and Alawites and Christians is crucial. But Homs signifies that confluence of all those different groups living together that's broken down.
Our previous interview with a Syrian activist in Homs, he actually said that there's an Assad-sanctioned militia there called the Shabiha. What do you know about that?
Shabiha is – it's a word. It means ghosts. But it refers to irregular Alawite troops. Now, not all Shabiha are Alawite, but they're largely Alawite. And the regime has recruited Alawites because in this sectarian battle – Sunnis have been defecting, particularly the lower ranks in the army. And so the regime is responding to that by trying to recruit more and more Alawites into the army to keep it strong. And there are these irregular special forces, militias, that have been drafted to come in. And they are the shock troops of this attempt to put down the revolution. And it's turning it increasingly into an Alawite versus Sunni struggle, as we see. And you know, the country has not split up yet along these purely sectarian lines, as we saw happen in Iraq or in Lebanon before that. But it's headed in that direction. And that's the very scary sort of future scenario. For that reason, the government has really not come down on Homs hard yet. It's beginning to, and that's what we're seeing, this big pickup in violence. Because it didn't want to attract foreign intervention by killing lots of people, and it didn't want to cause Sunni defections because it will collapse. If this turns into a real sectarian war, the Sunnis are going to win. They're 75% of the population in Syria. So the government is walking very delicately. And the Alawites are complaining like mad. They are saying, we're being thrown in the bus by the Assad regime. The Assad regime is weak. They should just pound these Sunnis. That's what the Alawites are saying. Now, the Sunnis, of course, are feeling like they're already being pounded. But things are going to get worse. There's no doubt about it.
Now, I know you're in touch with Alawites in Homs. Your wife is an Alawite. And you've been hearing that the
Alawites... She has relatives in the Alawite area of Homs. And, you know, they've been bombarded. Of course, they're not getting it anything like the Sunnis are. The three major Sunni neighborhoods have closed themselves off. The garbage is piled up. The government is punishing them by not giving them electricity, not allowing them to get in and out. So it's a pretty dire situation. On the other hand, they're ruling themselves and the government has not been able to penetrate. Now, they're starting to bombard it. But, you know, if they move in with tanks, it'll be a real massacre. So the government's flummoxed. They don't know what to do.
Is it your understanding that the Alawites and the Alawite neighborhoods in Homs are being attacked by the opposition, or are they just getting caught in the crossfire between the government and the opposition?
The opposition has managed to get guns. They've got mortars, RPGs. It's not heavy fire, but there are mortar shells that are going off. Just the other day, two French journalists who were being taken around by Alawites in the Alawite neighborhood, one of them was killed, the other badly wounded by a mortar shell that fell on them. This is going on, and Alawites are being kidnapped in fairly large numbers to be traded for Sunnis who are being kidnapped and taken prisoner by the regime. So a Sunni friend of mine wrote me recently, and her father had just been shot in the back of the head as he was getting into his car in the morning. His children ran downstairs. They found him dead, and the car was stolen. And they say it's these Shabiha, because he was a doctor working at the Red Cross Hospital and taking care of the opposition wounded, that they had assassinated him. So that's the sort of thing that's going on, and it's, you know, it's getting worse.
If Assad's government wanted, though, couldn't it just overrun Homs?
It could. It could just move in with tanks and crush and kill. And, you know, I've asked Syrian friends in the military there what it would take. to really suppress this revolution in the Homs area. And one of them said, well, if you killed 40,000 people, you would be done with it. I'm sure there are people in the government who are trying to do these calculations. But if you killed 40,000 people, if this government, you know, today the death toll is something like 6,000, 7,000. If you all of a sudden just wiped out 40,000, it would bring down a torrent of international approbation, but also probably it would light up other areas and it would cause a real sectarian war. And the Sunnis, even the upper class Sunnis, government Sunnis, would begin to defect in big numbers and this regime would come crumbling down.
Joshua Landis's blog is Syria Comment. He's also the director of the Center of Middle Eastern Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Josh, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you, Marco. It's a pleasure.